Hello and welcome to our program, That Guy's Mom, today here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. We highly encourage you to read the program description and listen to the past shows to get a full understanding of this amazing story that's touching lives worldwide. So sit back and enjoy the program. Here's Andrea, That Guy's Mom.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today on That Guy's Mom. We're here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom, and we hope today you'll find great encouragement out of what is shared. If you want to know more about the story behind what we're talking about, you can go to www.themattmayerstory.com. There you'll find a blog and all sorts of information about really what was a tragedy, but how it's being turned, and God is really using it to change not only a family, but change a lot of people's lives for the good. So, Ann, it's good to be with you today.
Hey, Scott. I agree. I think there's so much going on. And we have a speaking engagement in the upcoming future with teens. And one of the illustrations that I was going to use with them, I used to use it a lot when I taught in the public schools about decision making, is the illustration of the frog and boiling water. You're familiar with it. You did youth too, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, just for those of you that are not familiar with it, which I'm sure you are, but this will refresh your memory. And I don't know why anybody would ever consider, how do you boil a frog? That's just...
it is kind of a morbid thought.
That's this deeper issues we're not going to go into today.
Right.
But it is about the fact that if you put a frog in hot water, he will jump right out of the pot. However, if you take that same frog and you put that frog in tepid water, just room temperature, and you very slowly and gradually turn up the heat, the frog will happily boil to death. And it's a great illustration for our lives. I remember Matt, my son Matt, who's in prison, and I remember shortly after his drunk driving accident, one of the things he said to me was he was living what he called a lukewarm Christian lifestyle, which simply meant he really wasn't fully committed. He was partially committed, but he had one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. And I think that's what we're going to touch on today, because when I speak with the youth, I tell them it's not sudden, drastic stuff. It's the slow fade that you take when you start to compromise, when you start to just look at things and rationalize. It's a whole different ballgame when you do that. And that's really how it works.
Exactly. Somebody doesn't wake up, a man or woman who's married, doesn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'll go fall into an affair.
Yeah.
It is something that happens. The relationship, something happens, and over time, there's been some kind of conditioning, there's been something that they've been immersed in, and a lot of times it's just a slight little bit of a change. And over time, we become desensitized to it, or we turn an eye to it, or it just doesn't bother us as much.
Yeah. It is, especially in the culture. If you look at youth culture, I used to tell the kids when I would do my program, and they just thought this was insane. I said, do you know what the baddest curse word in a movie when I was in the sixth grade? And of course, you know, I say, please don't even give me any suggestions, because they might have my ears falling off me if they start saying what they think is a bad word today. But I tell them that we were told in the sixth grade not to go see Gone with the Wind, because at the end of Gone with the Wind, it ends with, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
And, oh my.
And our teachers were like, that is a bad word in a movie. And I tell that to kids and they go, are you kidding me? Today, they wouldn't, as I said, I tell them, please don't give me your ideas of what I'm talking about here, because they would probably shock me.
Right.
The language itself is so extreme now that we don't even flinch when we hear it. Anybody,
right.
Look, you're a football fan. You watch football.
Yes.
I get stuck watching it with my husband. How many times, and I could lip read very easily because I used to have a hearing problem, and I see these coaches and I with the F word and the F word, and I'm thinking, how sad is that? I always say to my husband, are there any coaches? Of course, there's Tony Dungy, but is there any more coaches that wouldn't think of using that kind of language with males on national TV? Or is this, have we come this far? And
right.
I don't believe it was always that way. It wasn't.
Yeah. And I don't know, but whether it's been that way or not, but you're definitely right that our culture has made some things definitely way more acceptable. And
yep.
there are just parts that we see more and more happening. And in other words, we're immersed in the world, and the world just kind of slightly begins to turn up the heat on whatever you may believe. Now, let's look at it from church side. More and more, you find people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Which 52 times Jesus spoke specifically on how we have to be connected to others in order to fulfill this Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot live it in a vacuum. It's easy to say, well, you know what? I have other things to do on a Sunday, and it's okay if I miss now. And the next thing you know, it's not even a value in your your life. Because when we're immersed in the culture and the heat gets turned up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I will tell you this, that when it does get to a boiling point, you find out what's inside.
That's true.
Find out what we're really made of.
That's a really good point. And that's the whole thing. This whole analogy about the frog has to do with this gradual, slow changes. And that's, you know, we're talking 35, 40 years, that example I gave you. But the kids today, I don't think they realize just what they're seeing now. If someone had told us 30 years ago, would be normal television, normal movies, that singers and entertainers would be as promiscuous and accept it, we would say it couldn't be. But it didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
It was a slow fade. There's a song that says that. It's a slow fade.
And, you know, coming out at the beginning of 2011, in America at least, they're predicting that you're going to see more episodes of flesh and skin and sexual content on TV than you've ever seen before. They're continuing to push the envelope. And that's not necessarily supposed to be an indictment one way or another. Obviously, I don't agree with it, but it is something for us to be aware of, that when you live in a sexually charged culture, eventually, as the heat gets turned up, we begin to say, well, this is acceptable. This is okay. I deserve this. We begin to rationalize more. And we are so immersed then in it that it doesn't make a difference to us anymore.
We become desensitized. And though we think we're desensitized, it somehow will come out in our character and our actions. I, for one, think about the effect of all of that on these young married couples who are watching this sexually charged culture and thinking that it can't affect you, it can't affect your relationships, it won't affect how our children, our daughters are treated by young males, or how our females respond to young males. I mean, that troubles me. And I think so much that the Lord in the scripture says that I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And that lukewarm society that we live in today is troublesome. You know what? I'm excited to see men and women stand up for what they believe.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what it is, be committed. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think that's something that's greatly needed in today's day and age.
Interesting thing about that story, the reason Christ uses that in the scriptures is because there was a city that in order, you know, to one distance from them was a place that had hot water, and another side was a place that had cold springs. But by the time they dug canals and shipped the water in, it was lukewarm. In other words, you didn't get the benefits of the hot or the cold. So they understood that analogy when he used it, that, listen, I'd rather you be over here or over there, so at least you know where you stand. But lukewarmness, and it says vomit. You know, it's a violent spewing out of the mouth and even out of the gut. It's not just a simple, you know, spit. It's awful. And so understanding that when we allow ourselves to be in a culture that is going to make us lukewarm or, you know, average is not acceptable, that doesn't mean we have to be more successful. It just means we have to be hot or cold.
Yeah. I remember a woman was over visiting my father, and I was in there too, and we were talking about today's young people and, you know, the divorce and the brokenness of some kids. And she said, oh, nothing has really changed. It's the same thing generation after generation. And I turned around to her and I said, well, I don't agree with that, because I could tell you historically it could be proven that the three major institutions were home, church, and education. Well, the house, the family has fallen apart through divorce. The church has certainly fallen apart. Many have closed. It's not the same church that it used to be in terms of people understanding that there was a community in church And like just like you said, now it's like, well, I could church at home. I could watch TV. I don't have to. And lastly, the education. When you went to public school, you were taught. Now we're moving back to that a little bit, but you were taught character education by the Ten Commandments, even in public school. Now we can't say it's the Ten Commandments, but we're back to trying to infuse character education into the classroom because we see the bankruptcy that has taken place. So we're not dealing with the same generation historically. We're dealing with kids, a culture that is broken big time. And it happened gradually.
Yes.
It happened gradually.
And when you're in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the throes of the storm, it's very easy for the wind and the waves, it's easy for our eyes to get on everything else that's going on around us, not only get us distracted, but get us, for me, I fight discouragement all the time because it's easy to let the surroundings or what I'm immersed in overcome the hope I may have, the future I may have, even my own identity of who I am, especially who I am, in Christ. And I can't help but think of some of our listeners who are, they're in the throes of a major storm, you know, and you're going, wow, life is really heated up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that we want to help encourage people that identifying that you're in that position, you know, you now you don't have to be the frog that sits there. You can jump out and rise above it and how important that is.
Yeah, that's a really good point because you can get just stuck in your circumstances. And just because we are where we are doesn't mean we need to stay there. You know, that's what I love. And in a moment, things can change. If you're aware of it, though, but if you live not being aware of it, that's the whole idea of boiling. You're just going with the flow. You're not feeling the heat getting turned up and turned up and turned up. And so, therefore, you just lay down and die. Well, as a grandmom now and as still a mother of my children, I look at the society and the culture, and I think, you know what? I'm not going to just boil and lay down and die. It's never too late till this life is over. And so there's things that we can do, and we can uplift a generation with that which is positive. And I do think, Scott, the church, it's a shame because I think the church could and should have a more active role than it does.
Oh, absolutely. But that would be part of the plan. Turn the heat up, and if you can make the church anemic in the society, then what, you know, what difference does it make in the world? And what's always interesting to me is the church in general outside of America is growing by gangbusters.
How about that?
I found out recently that Christianity is indeed the fastest growing in the world, although the Muslim faith is the fastest growing in America.
Is that right?
Huh. And so the church, the Christian church in America is either plateaued or declined, but in the rest of the world, it's growing like wildfire, which helps us understand that in our own culture, it's easy for that to get turned up. And it's more interesting to realize the church is growing faster in the countries where it's persecuted.
Well, there you go. What's the opposite of that? Persecution is complacency.
Right.
And what do we have in our country?
Yeah.
Complacency. And what does the frog have when it's put in the tepid water as it slowly gets turned up? Complacency. You're not seeing any of the dangers on the horizon. I'll tell you what I'd like to use as an example when we come back after the break is this whole financial structure. If that's not a prime example of where we were and where we are as a country, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. That'll be a great place to start. And we're really grateful to Fresh Start Broadcasting. You can find them if you're not listening through their website. You can find us and you can find more shows from them at www.freshstartbroadcasting.com. We'll be right back after the break.
You've been listening to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting, and we'll be right back with more of the program after this brief announcement from one of our sponsors.
Have you ever heard of the mustard seed guy? Well, in the Bible in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now imagine the possibilities if you were debt-free. Stress would melt away. Relaxing on Sunday would not have to be second-guessed. There would be time for the family again, and life would all around be more enjoyable. This is what Matthew Lurkey of Tulsa, Oklahoma is striving for. Follow his story as he trades his way out of debt one item at a time and starting with just one mustard seed. Matthew was tired of working 60-plus hours a week, not getting to go to church or see his family. He needed something more. After changing jobs and a drastic pay cut, bills began to mount and credit cards were the only option. So Matthew was asking God for answers, and here's how he felt God responded. Trade your way out of debt, one step at a time, each time improving on what you have. Have faith in me, and I will provide for you. Rely on me wholeheartedly, and I shall care for you. Well, you might ask, what good could come out of all this? Now you can find out and follow this evolving story of faith at www.trademeoutofdebt.com. Again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he trades his way out of debt, one step at a time. Once again, that is www.trademeoutofdebt.com, and follow Matthew as he's on his journey.
Welcome back to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. So here she is, picking up right where she left off.
Well, welcome back after the break. We are here with Ann Mayer, who is That Guy's Mom. And so exciting to be able to share this topic today. But as we were at the break, I was kind of thinking, Ann, you know, how morbid is it that somebody would actually experiment with a frog? And did they actually do this?
I know.
Where they put a frog in water and turned up the heat? You know, I'm just thinking, man, what kind of scientific project with that.
Something some little boys would like to do.
Exactly.
After raising boys.
Probably at some point. And
maybe one of the mayor boys did that.
But what an important illustration for us, and a great way for us to look at our surroundings and where we're at, just in our own lives, and why some of these external things. We've talked in one of the shows about just a slight comment and how it can influence us.
Yeah.
You know, and it can begin to either make us self-conscious or drag us down. Just how easy our surroundings are to impact us.
Absolutely. And this frog illustration, it truly is. It's pretty deep. It's not just what meets the eye. There's a whole lot in that. It could be a parable for watching the slow changing trends in our society. It also is a warning to keep paying attention, not just to the obvious threats, but to developing threats. And when I think back on this whole housing market, oh my goodness. Now listen, anybody in the financial world should have seen the hurricane coming. They should have seen something wasn't right.
Yeah.
This overblown market. Just look at, and I am not a financial, my husband does all the finances. I don't have the financial brain, but I know this, you don't spend more than what you make. It's kind of easy for me. That makes sense.
Yeah.
However, we all do it because of that nice little plastic card that doesn't hurt when you give it to the person and they slide it through. That doesn't hurt at all. You don't have to even open your wallet half the time. You got them in your pocket, boom. And when you look at that, our kids grew up in a credit card society. And so what is happening to them and what they think about the value of money and what's happened to the house market, you know, when everything is overblown and, you know, we live higher on the hog than we should. Now, I think we're at a point in America where it stopped. Man, young people can't even get a house now.
Right, right.
So it's gone, the pendulum has gone the other way. You could have really good credit. You could have a nice down payment. But there are so many other factors in place now.
Yeah.
Because of that. How did we get there? That wasn't overnight.
Right.
Wall Street didn't go down overnight.
It was a slow process of the heat being turned up. And part of it was people overexpending based on their income.
Greed.
And part of it was a lot of people, lenders, thinking, I can make money on this. I can make money this way. They're looking at the opportunity to bring in more income.
Yep.
So yeah, you can really boil it down to greed.
When you look at it, seriously, I know people that bought houses worth a whole lot of money with nothing down. Now, really, let's just look at that as a practical application of what do you do in life that's going to cost you nothing that you appreciate?
Exactly.
Come on. And so someone told me that their family member simply just got up and walked away from this beautiful, gorgeous house because they've never invested anything in it.
Right.
They were given the keys and they were able to go in. That was part of the problem. But in the process of them doing that, someone made money off it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was making money. So you look at the frog situation in this and you say, look what we've done to our economy. Look at our government. If that doesn't freak me out when they say how many state governments are now going bankrupt and the federal government itself is in $trillion of debt. And then you think of your kids and your grandkids and you go, what is going on? Did we not see this coming? Does everybody just think they could just spend what we don't have and still spend?
And it cracks me up. Let's put it this way. Let's think back to the frog. I wonder how many of the frog's friends were sitting outside of the kettle going, hey, I saw him turning the heat up. I saw this coming. And we have that now. Wow, I saw this coming. Why? Did you really? If you really saw it coming, you know, and I'm sure there were people screaming and shouting, saying, hey, watch what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in our society, it was drowned out by the possibility or the hope or, you know, the next dollar that could be made.
Yeah.
And that's part of that pressure cooker that we can find ourselves in.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm sorry, this mentality is pervading in every aspect. We could probably go through music, entertainment, movies, television, our own homes. What are the compromises we've made in our own homes over time? I know as a parent, how you deal with your first one versus your last one totally changes.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says. You get more lax. You go, that's not such a major thing. And the oldest ones, it's like everything is on their shoulders, you know, how they do and how they perform. By the time you get to the youngest one, you're like, you're okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I think we just have to be vigilant and understand really what are the important principles and of our life and what we believe. And
I would tell everybody to pause and get a thermometer out and take a temperature.
Good idea.
Take a temperature of your life. I would encourage people, if you need to, take a half a day, take a day, sit down, get away from a phone and TV and whatnot, and take an inventory.
That's a great idea.
Because you need to step back and say, all right, am I in this kettle?
Yeah.
Are my debts running way out of line? Are my morals, are they being
compromised?
What is it? Am I a trend follower? So I'm just kind of following the trends. So taking a thermometer and taking the temperature of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself in the middle of a crisis or you're going through whatever your story is that's killing you,
mm-hmm.
dragging you down, that thermometer might come back and say, you're in danger.
Yep.
That's you're in danger of boiling to death because you're in a pressure cooker and you need to do something about it. So the frog in the kettle is a great illustration if we apply the remedy correctly and being able to say, I don't want to be a frog in the kettle.
Right.
Because at some point, you know, frogs, the reason they end up the way they do, like most reptiles, they don't and are not able to regulate their own body temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So they emulate more than they regulate.
Oh.
And we are not people, we don't have to emulate our society. We don't have to be chameleons. We can regulate our own temperature. And that's a gift God has given us. We have the opportunity. And this is kind of maybe speaking to myself at this point. We have the opportunity to decide whether we're going to live under the circumstances or be overcomers of the circumstances. Because it's never promised that it'd be a bed of roses.
Right.
That's a nice cliche, but it's so true. And my dad used to say to me all the time, and when he says it to me now, I don't like it, just like I didn't like it then. But life's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not here to hand everybody a fair handout.
Right.
So when you're sitting there and all sorts of things, whether you've been victimized or whatever, well, it's not fair. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
Mm.
But you know what? God didn't necessarily promise it'd be fair, but he did promise he'd be with us through it all.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was thinking when I was raising my kids and they were going to do something, I would say, well, let me call the family where you're going to be. And they'd say, you're the only parent that does that. And now I'm older and I'm around younger moms and they'll be saying, yeah, you know, I told her I was going to call. And they say, you're the only parent. That's just one of those examples of stick to what you know. Don't care about. And maybe there are some parents who won't call and check. I don't know who they are. But just because if that's the trend, and you know that it's not the right thing to do, do the right thing all the time. I used to say to the boys, if you do the right thing, you never have to worry about the wrong thing happening.
Right.
It's simple.
Yeah.
But the minute you start delving into some other area, then anything's possible.
Think about that conversation, how easy it is for, and even TV uses kids, to, you know, your kid can look at you and say, you're the only parent that does that.
Yeah.
Well, what is that trying to do?
Yep.
It's turning the heat up. It's trying to get you to emulate.
Yep.
And you don't have to.
Move with the trend.
Yeah.
Move with the trend.
Because it's the same for our kids. You know, my daughter now has a cell phone and we bought it so you could communicate with us. So when you don't, you obviously don't need it.
Right.
And it's amazing how things change pretty quick when you do that.
Yes, absolutely. That's good, though. I think it's just so important for us to talk about stuff like this so that we could say, no matter what it is or where you're at, just evaluate what is your standards and what are you using? How much are you being influenced? I think if you don't take the time to stop and look at it, you will just go with the flow.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the beast.
And, you know, some of the people that I work with that have been to prison or, you know, in different situations, who is it that did influence you to get you where you're at? Mm-hmm. What is that influence that you know, you were out? Here's a great, kind of a silly example, but one of my friends in college called me and said, I need you to wait for me outside the school library at such and such a time. I said, oh, are you working there? Because it was after it was closed. He said, no, just wait for me. If I come running out, I need you to be there. I'm like, what are you up to? He says, nothing. Don't worry about it.
Sounds like a getaway car.
Well, it's exactly what it was. And what it turned out to be is he got caught. They were going to pull a prank in the library, and they thought there was no alarm on the top floor. And they got caught. And so as I'm sitting there, and a police car pulls up and another car pulls up, I left. Because I'm like, no. Nah. So, of course, the next day I read about it and hear about it that he got arrested. And so I say that to say you can let your friends and your influencers.
Yeah.
You know, if you have even a sports star, mm-hmm. you look at some of our sports stars that have self-destructed.
Yes.
They're human, too, and they have these influences. Who's influencing you? Are they influencing you to, you know, are they telling you, wow, just a little bit of pot, that's not a big deal. It's a good way to cope with life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think anybody could say that pot led them to success or health.
Right. Or even alcohol. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
Look at where I'm sitting right now as that guy's mom because he compromised. You know, there's a saying that goes, first the man takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man. And my boys grew up listening to all these little slogans I had because I taught it, you know, and I didn't only teach it in school, I taught it here. And yet, you know what? Matt turned to that. What's wrong with it? He's in that world, the athletic world. Afterwards, more often after a game, you go to a bar because they sponsor your team. So you go over and that's where you have your signings. But, you know, that doesn't mean you have to drink because once you drink, it clouds your thoughts and what you're going to do and your actions are then influenced. I just watched a special on Tim Tebow the other night. Love that man. And there's someone that never compromised. And therefore, he is who he is. He's known for that. Now, in Matt's case, my son, he compromised, he fell. And now I am hoping and I believe that when he comes out, he could be an example. So just because you've fallen doesn't mean you can't get up. In fact, you can get up and you can do even better.
When you fail, fail forward.
Yes.
And God is not surprised when we fail. It's not like you've done something that surprised him.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a great statement the other day. When you fall down, if you fail and you fall down, you might as well pick something up while you're down there.
Oh, that's good.
So you pick something up. You'll learn from it. And you know, hey, I'm not going to do that again.
Right.
Or I'll do this differently next time. And So maybe you have a loved one that did something like Matt did, and you're sitting there listening going, man, I'm living in this situation where I've got a loved one in prison, or I've got a family falling apart, or my marriage is falling apart, or your sibling watching your parents go through something. Whatever it is, we'd encourage you to take that temperature. Take a look around and make sure that you're not letting your surroundings dictate
your future.
Yeah, and turn up the heat so high that you boil to death in your own situation.
Yeah, because oftentimes what we're around, we take for granted, and then it becomes part of us. And that is why we should be, you know, introspective as well as look around and say, what is going on around me? I think we should be proactive. I don't know, maybe because I've always been this nosy little sister in the family of seven kids. I always had this radar thing going, and I just think that helped me. I don't need to make the same mistakes a brother or sister of mine made. I've made my own, don't get me wrong. But if I see you make, like I say, I never fall in the same spot twice. Thank you, Lord. Because I'm just like, I fell down that step once before. Every time I go down it, I look down. I think we should be like that in life. And we should realize there are things that are trying to trip us up. So therefore, be more conscious, be more vigilant. And I would say ultimately gird all of this in prayer. Prayer for yourself, prayer for your children, prayer for your community, prayer for your country.
Yeah.
You can't underestimate that and the importance of that.
And you need to acknowledge that part of your life is spiritual. In fact, everything in our lives is spiritual. And if you're not even being attentive to your spiritual journey, when you get into a situation that he gets turned up, what boils out will be a lot more about who you are and say a lot more about where you're at. And so get your thermometer out and take a check of your life. And we'd also encourage you to continue to join us and check in with us on each of these episodes as we continue to take this journey with Ann Mayer, who is that guy's mom.
Remember what we started with and we end every show with, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. God bless.
Well, that's all the time we have today for our program, That Guy's Mom. Be sure and join us here next week as Andrea continues the story of That Guy's Mom, same time, same place, right here on Fresh Start Broadcasting.